I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Which question do you prefer? How hard is your heart? Or do you despise God's kindness? Because, according to Paul, the indicator of both of those has to do with us passing judgment. Uh-oh. And he doesn't mean discernment. That's the good thing, right? He doesn't mean discernment. No, he means condemning in our heart someone else's heart. As though we're the final authority, right? As though we're the final authority rather than a fellow sinner in need of the Savior. Uh-oh. Yeah, uh-oh is right. Because it's easy to excuse ourselves, but you have no excuse. You have no excuse, whoever you are, meaning believer or non-believer. Whoever you are, you got no excuse when you judge others. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you, the self-appointed judge, are doing the very same things, right? And so do you imagine, whoever non you are, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or, you believers, do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? That's what it means to pass judgment. Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you and me to repentance? You know, for things like, say a passing judgment. But by your hard and impenitent, which means defiant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself. Why you do that? For the day when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. This is very much, it reminds me of that analogy you've probably, most of you have heard, the old analogy of drinking poison so the person you're condemning will die. Right? It makes no sense. But here's the thing, this is not a sermon on judging, so we'll stop right there. No, we are talking about softening a stone cold heart. And one of the hardest hearts in the entire Bible has to be Pharaoh. Because in one of the most controversial verses, the Lord said to Moses, do all these wonders before Pharaoh. But, it's like you should know this in advance now, I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And I'll tell you, when you first see this, believer, non-believer, you're like, what? Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? Can he do that? So many think this is so controversial, when in fact God is simply stating a fact. What he's saying is, you should know this in advance. No matter what I do, that guy is going to harden his hatred for my authority. I'm going to harden his heart, no matter what. So, after the frogs came up and covered the land, when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, that's when he hardened his heart. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, well, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his already pre-hardened heart. He and his servants. So that's a pretty hard heart. But I think there's one person that beats him in the Bible. Any guesses? there is an even harder heart, and it has to be the thief on the cross, who mocked his only chance at life as he himself was dying in agony. He'd heard of the miracles he performed. He knew who he was. And this is an incredible example of the old saying, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Say that with me. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Because when the sun rose on that day, those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. But Jesus was simply saying, Father, forgive them. Now, both of those thieves heard his same words, one on his right, one on his left. Both watched his same actions. But only one of them softened his heart as it dawned on him that he was just a few hours from death, but only a few feet from life. So then, as the one with the hard heart hurled insults, the other rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He's like, look at this. We are getting what our deeds deserve. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, remember you, you will be with me. And during the course of that fateful day, the sun, S-O-N, softened one while hardening the other. So let's go back. How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? By showing him his power and authority and mercy. His kindness. Nine times, right? Nine times. It wasn't until plague number 10 that God's wrath finally came, right? Because I'm just thinking, if I was God, I would have started with the plague of hammers to the head and been done with it. But it's all about his mercy. And you know why he didn't do that? I mean, you know why he didn't do that. It wasn't hammer time. Which begs the question the Lord asks every believer. He's asking us right now. He's asking you, do you think, asks the sovereign Lord, that I like to see wicked people die? Because sometimes believers act like we think he likes to see wicked people die. Of course not. I only want them, God speaking, I only want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. Yet you say, oh, the Lord isn't being just. Listen to me. It's you. It is you who are unjust, not I. Turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Put all your rebellion to what he just said, behind you. And get for yourselves a new living heart and a new Holy Spirit. For why should you die? I don't want you to die. It's one of my favorite God quotes in the Bible. I don't want you to die, says the sovereign Lord. Turn back and live. Turn back from what exactly? Well, so glad I asked. Each one follows the dictates, the commands of his own evil heart. Evil just means against God, the one that doesn't line up with God. Own evil heart. No one listens to me in his word. So listen, he says, I will give you a new heart inside, as we saw a couple Sundays back, inside of your old heart. It's a heart inside of a heart. And I'll put a new spirit in you. And if you'll allow, I will gradually remove from you your old cold heart of stone and give you a warm living heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit of life in you and move you to follow my decrees instead of your own evil dictates, right? Good news, right? Well, they said, that is hopeless. You ask too much. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will, everyone, obey the dictates of his own evil heart. My kingdom come. All right? You ever touch something dead after it's, you know, rigor mortis has set in? You know, growing up in the youth house, the wrecking yard, our patio, you remember this, Pops, Vicky and our patio was often filled with feral junkyard cats because they kept the rats in check. We couldn't pet them, but we could catch the smallest and sickest and most likely most diseased ones. I always wanted mom to take him to the vet, but he would have just put him down. So mom opted for the shotgun. She was practical that way. I wasn't. My sister and I, we would put him in a box. We'd put him in a box with a little blanket and try to treat him, you know, while dodging bullets. And but trust me. Oh, wait. Next. Trust. Yeah, forgiven. Trust me. That is not what they looked like. And we would go to bed. And we would get up in the morning and we would go reach under the blanket, hoping to touch something soft and warm, which sadly was generally not the case. And so early on, I learned a cold, hard fact that, in fact, dead things are cold and hard. And that living things are soft and warm. And it is for that very reason that Jesus wants your heart, my heart, our hearts, to remain soft and warm to his touch. You ever molded clay, you know? If you have, then you know how you need to knead it to make it soft and warm so it can be formed and shaped into what you intend to create. And that is a very biblical analogy for our heart. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. You see, we are the clay. And you, Lord, are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. Oh, come. We're called. Oh, come. Let us kneel. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. And say, your kingdom come. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So please do not harden your hearts. So we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Have you tried kneeling? Have you tried the kneeling as you take on the day? Just to pause and say, your kingdom come. Which, by the way, is the same as saying, soften my heart. Your kingdom come, soften my heart. Because as we saw, we are given, remember this? We're given a secret. We're given a secret heart, right? A clean heart. We're given obedient hearts of flesh inside of our rebellious heart of stone. And it's also known as a kingdom heart hidden within our stone, cold, rebellious heart. And they are at war. They, the wicked, they have closed up, slam shut. They have closed up their fat hearts like a lion lurking in secret places. Yeah, these fat cats have everything. Did you know that was in the Bible? These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for and no more. His, the wicked's, his words are as smooth as cream. I thought that went with a cat theme. Smooth as cream, but in his heart is war. You see, smooth lips and an evil heart are like silver coating on clay. And if clay could run away, like us, like we can, well, it would begin to grow cold and harden, like rigor mortis, the moment it left the molder's hands. Again, like us. You know, his spirit whispers, soften toward that person. And we softly reply, no, thank you. No, thank you. Ignoring that we've just left his hands. We've just left his hands and his kingdom of freedom to return to self-imposed slavery in our old, cold, dead heart of stone. So beware, because we are told that those with Moses refused to obey. And what happened? Well, in so doing, in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. You see, they simply, ignorantly, refused. I mean, this is a scary verse here. They refused to pay attention. And thus, that's how they made their hearts as hard as flint. And just would not listen. Bless you. Twice. Would not listen. You see, here's the thing. This sentence, here's why that happens. The sentence is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart is, you know, slowly but surely fully set in them, like concrete. Whereas my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Because the one who said, I am the door, also said, I stand at the door. And knock, because there's two doors, because there's two hearts. One's the kingdom of God, and one's stone cold. And when you lie very still in your bed at night, just before practicing dying, and I say that because he calls dying sleeping, you can hear him knocking. You ever notice that at night when it's really still, you lay there? Ta-bum, ta-bum, ta-bum. It's loud. He's practically beating his way in. By way of the ticker he created as a countdown timer and daily reminder of our date with destiny. And that familiar rhythm is literally, and I'm using the word correctly, it is literally the sound of little valve doors opening and closing. So welcome back, fat cats, cool cats, and heartbreakers, because it's time to break out the broken heart ballads with these classic psalms. For instance, Ballad 34:18 first says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. You know why? Because he's the one doing the breaking. Is not my word... like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It is, and you know what that means. It's hammer time. That's right. Because Ballad 34:18 then says, and he saves those who are broken in spirit. You see, the pious religious sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. But by sorrow of the heart, the, you know, prideful, defiant spirit is broken. That's what he wants to break. And Ballad 51 says, the sacrifice God wants is a broken spirit, a broken, humble spirit, made that way by a heart that is broken and sorry for sin. That's the broken heart. So why then do you harden your hearts? We got to bust on in and load up and warm up those ice-cold cats with the light from within. For God made his light shine in our hearts. So sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Sing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in kindness and mercy. And now, love one another deeply from the heart. Because it's all about what we choose to store up in our heart. So what's in your heart? Because every moment of every day, we are either in the process of softening or hardening. Which is why it's so crucial that we put our heart in His hands every morning and let Him keep us warm and pliable in His Bible. Until you're welcome. Until the day you can honestly say, I delight to do your will, and therefore your instruction lives within me. You know how hard it is to truly delight to do thy will over my will? Only as hard as my heart. Because it is the desire of the heart that determines the outcome. So this week, try not to despise His kindness. Instead, respect Christ as the Holy Lord in your hearts. And today, right now, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Because I'll tell you this, though my flesh and my heart fail, God is the only rock of my heart. So let's pray. Father God, our potter, we love you and worship you and delight in your kindness. Holy Spirit, break us and shape us and cause your light to radiate from our heart. Lord Jesus, we hear your word. We see your will. And we set our heart on following you. And everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.